it takes so much more. Listen to the road as it goes by. The river is bleeding, the trees let out a cry. And it works, it works when I fall into your arms again. Again. So when the lights go out and I look into your eyes, but before I can speak the smoke begins to rise, and the wheel it spins around and around again.
If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
In the light of the most radiant one, I'm Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command, and I merge with my celestial counterpart, Commander Ashtar. And you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. We are a show that's dedicated to the many celestial emissaries that are here, both in Earth-born bodies, as well as those Lords of Light who are now returning in many various ways. Some of you are integrating into physical vehicles that are already here on Earth, that are part of your, shall we say, soul family. Some of you are walking in to already existent bodies where the original occupant has decided for one reason or another to go on to other work. There are many ways that we get here. And so the show is dedicated to helping you understand your multidimensional self and the many, many ways that you arrive here to be of service to this beautiful planet at her time of ascension. We are moving from a third density planet, through the fourth density and into what will ultimately be the fifth Earth, or the fifth world as the Native Americans call it, or the fifth dimension. And this will be a love and peace based world. And it will be quite lovely. And we're in that process right now of moving in that vast, what I like to call a quantum advancement of consciousness and understanding on this planet, as truly we become more heart-centered and heartfelt in every aspect of our life. Tonight we're going to have a very special treat because one of my favorite people on the planet is our guest tonight. And this is my first try at being a host, so we'll see how we do here. I have with me as my special guest my dear friend, Commander Alion. And first of all, let me give you a little background on this wonderful, wonderful Earth-based commander. First of all, he's the spiritual son of Kedar Monka. Monka is the head of the Saturnian Tribunal, and he represents the Earth on that tribunal. Monka is the son of Soltek. And those of you who are familiar with the Ashtar Command are familiar with the names of Monka and Soltek and Ashtar and Athena and others of the Command. Now, Monka, being the son of Soltek and representing the Saturnian Tribunal, nevertheless is from Mars. And his father, Soltek, is from Alpha Centauri, which is in the Proxima Centauri system. Many of the planetary civilizations in the third dimension relocated to the Proxima Centauri, which is a binary sun system, after the Galactic Wars, which rendered most surfaces of the planets here uninhabitable. They are very barren, as we can see from the Hubble telescope and other explorations that have taken place within our solar system. It's been ravaged by galactic wars. And that's why we're not going to allow that to happen again. And that's why Earth has been under very strong surveillance so that we do not import our crazies into the rest of the solar system and so that we never again have a devastating galactic war. So having said that, Commander Allion is interesting in the sense that he is the founder and host of a radio show, to my knowledge, which is the first ever Ashtar Command radio show dedicated entirely to the Ashtar Command. And it's called The Cosmic Eye, and he's on every Sunday with that wonderful program. He's also the founder of the Ashtar Galactic Command website with now over 800 members. He's been involved with media, television, all forms of communicative expression in the honoring of the many, many souls who are here as Starseed, in the honoring of the Ashtar Command, in the honoring of those of us who find ourselves very peculiar people in a world that most often doesn't understand us very much. So I thought it would be wonderful if Commander Allion would share a little bit with us about how he awakened, how he came into his mission for the Ashtar Command. And I would like to know what kind of a kid you were. Were you a weird kid, Commander Allion?
Let's start from that level. And greetings and salutations to everyone around the planet. This is Commander Allion. And I wanted to say yes. When I was a kid, and I remember this very well, we'd be playing stickball, an Earth-based game, in a cul-de-sac in the court in a suburban neighborhood. And I said one day when we were playing, I said, well, I've got to say something. I'm from Mars. And I believe I was about 8 or 9 years old when I said that. I believe somewhere in that realm. And my friends that lived next door to me that were playing this game of stickball suddenly became very angry and did not understand what I was saying, and they wanted me to take it back and not say it anymore. And I said, well, no, I'm from Mars. And for the longest time, I kind of kept it to myself at some point. And that was really the beginning of my opening up to feeling like, okay, here I am, and now what do I do? That was the beginning of a lot of it. And also, I must say, in those early years, before I even knew that there was such a...
Hello? 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 Commander Allion, are you there? So anyway, we had a little interruption here. They're getting Commander Allion back on. But he's an amazing man in the sense that I don't think I have ever known anyone that holds the frequency of the command so solidly. We've been friends maybe 20 years now, in the best of times, in the worst of times, in the ups and downs that we all go through. And always he holds that vision and that steady cosmic perception. He's just an amazing being. And another thing that I have found so wonderful about him is his kindliness. You know, so often we lose that sweetness when we begin to integrate into an Earth perspective and earth consciousness, it's so extremely loving and sweet within the command, where we work, where we play, where we engage in cosmic endeavors. We work as a vast collective of loving men and women, and there's such harmony that when we come into this density and we integrate into an earth body, the first thing that impacts us is the tremendous lack of love here. I can remember myself when I was about 12, 13 years old, looking up at the sky, and I was crying, and I said, whoever brought me here to this planet, would you please come and take me home? There's not enough love here. I can't stay here. And my heart was heaving with sorrow. I didn't feel like my family was my own family. I remember as a young child asking my mother when I could go home to my real family. And so many starseeds come in with a clear understanding that they're not from this earth. And there's a tremendous loneliness that sort of always haunts us, because we are, in a sense, aliens here. And everything of earth is about the opposite, the polar opposite of what we're used to in our home world.
I'm back.
I remembered. Are you back, dear one?
I'm back.
Hi, dearest. Well, let's see. You were saying that you were indeed an unusual child, and that when you were about 8 years old, you told your friends that you were from Mars, and they got angry. I find that's one of the strangest things about human beings, is that they cry and they get angry when they're afraid. Is that strange? I don't really understand that myself.
It is
so
strange.
How did that play down with you? How did you feel about that? What kind of assumption did you make from that kind of behavior?
Well, that they just didn't understand. I assumed at that age that if I expressed it, they would understand that that is natural to express that. But evidently, they weren't at that place to accept that. And then after that, many other events happened, including my seeing a spaceship one night going upstairs into, at the time, my brother's room, and going outside into opening a window, like a blind, a wooden blind. And as I opened it up, there was this ship about the size of a cul-de-sac. I mean, to me, it was a saucer-shaped craft with glass windows that looked tinted to me. It was at nighttime. And I don't remember whether it was a warm night or a cool night. All I remember is when I opened it up, I felt an immense sense of love. And I saw men, women, and children on board this ship. A lot of them, actually. And I said, how could everyone fit on this ship? And I saw lights blinking in the back, what I considered computer lights, without really knowing what they were. That's the only way I can describe it. But then I went down there, get excited, and tell everyone else that there was a spaceship hovering right above the ground. And everyone said they'd be right up. No one came up. Then I went back to look, and I saw the ship again, still there with all the people, and this immense love. And then afterwards, I closed the blind, and I went to sleep. But that was one of many experiences before I knew about my connection coming from the Ashtar Command later in life. That led me up, I guess, to where I am today. That was sort of like the seed, the star seed, going into the flowering of the sunship of who I am spiritually and cosmically. So it all started from that age. And I had very conscious memory of that experience for many years. And then, of course, I met Ashtar Athena, or at the time, Commander Lady Athena, over 20 years ago from reading in magazines. I heard about Ashtar, and I started yearning for more information because I started feeling like there's something there that I'm connected with. And then I found out how connected I really was on many levels, in my own time, in my connections with Commander Athena. And over 20 years later, I've been in a foundation, a very strong foundation, cosmically, with the command of doing a multitasking of things in the field of communication. So my realm of my commandership, an alignment with Manka Kedar is in the realm of a vast array of communications and linking up between our space command and our Earth-based ground crew.
Well, you've certainly been a groundbreaker and a pioneer in that in terms of the Ashtar Command, and your name will go down in the chronicles of the command as that courageous volunteer spirit that came forward to put us on the airwaves and to bring forward a message which, when you started it, was really strange, because as far back as I've known you, which, like you say, goes back beyond 20 years, you were involved with extraterrestrial information on your TV shows, on your radio shows. In fact, I think that's how we originally met, was that you interviewed me on the show that you were doing.
Right.
Do you remember the time that you had Lord Sananda come through me?
Yes.
And everyone fainted, and everybody either fell asleep or fainted in the studio?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. That was quite an experience.
We've had so many amazing experiences.
and not only that same night, I'll share with the audience, when we left the studio, we went to an exit down to a side road where a river was, near where my folks used to live, and we saw a bell-shaped red spaceship. I noticed it moving along the tree lines of this above the river on the other side of the dam, and I said, I know it's going to land. And I was with my wife, and I'm looking, and I know the ship is going to land. And as soon as I said that, it landed somewhere in the woods. So we went up on a road, and I had a relatively big sports car at the time. And I'd never been on this road before. Went over a bridge, went on this road on the other side of the river, up to a hill, and then there was this dark area of woods and dirt road saying road closed. I said, what more perfect timing could this be? But I decided not to go drive in with the car, not knowing what the dirt road was like. But I did know that there was a ship somewhere out there that had landed, a bell-shaped ship. I didn't fear in terms of understanding it. I just knew it was there. And that was an experience that we had at that time after we left that studio, TV studio, after that broadcast. That happened. And we had a few other interesting experiences outside the station in the skies above us, as you'll remember. But we've done a lot of things together, the commander and myself. And my whole thing is to expand the commander, the Ashtar Galactic Command understanding on the planet, to the whole planet, to over 7 billion people on this planet, to understand that we are here, that there is a great love for humanity, and that there is also a great love that exists for all life forms in terms of on this planet that exists, and that on many other planetary worlds that there is teeming of life, of very spiritual life, very cosmic life, very much a oneness that this planet is now going into. And you stated it quite eloquently earlier in the beginning of your broadcast, where we are going as a planet. And I think people who want to learn about who we are in the highest levels of the command is the key and core work of understanding all the galactic levels of understanding. And that you don't just get in a library or in a college or a university. You get that from these kinds of programs that don't exist in those 3D realms, so to speak. So for me, it's really key, and I'm blessed to see the expansion of the communication of these radio broadcasts, like the voice of the Ashtar Command, the Cosmic Eye. It's expanding people's openness, awareness, and understanding to learn about who we are, and that we are definitely beings of great love and great light. We're nothing like Hollywood film portrays extraterrestrials or beings from other worlds. We're way different from what the Hollywood perceptions are. But we are here to, and I am here, to bring forth those levels of communications now and to have people understand that there is nothing to fear in the next number of years of transformation, but everything to gain from understanding who you are and why you are here, not just as a human being, not just to go to work during the day and come home, and not just to make lots of money or not make lots of money, but to know really, truly who you are and why you're here. Because when you came here at birth, you knew who you were. Everything got kind of distorted as we went through the 3D learning experience, which we're here to do. But at the same time, we're also here to remember who we are. And if we can do that, we will make the planet a better place to live. We will live in a place of light communities, which are also very much part of the transformation. The Ashtar Command light communities, which I've talked about in on my radio programs in the past, are very key centers, or will be key centers, to the great transformation of humanity. They will be places of learning, places to bring your children to understand the great dynamics of who we are and who you are, and that we're not going to stay the same, and we're not going to live in little boxes anymore. You know, that the world is changing, the environment is changing, the earth is changing, and therefore we are also changing as well. So it's a beautiful time to be here, and I work very, very closely with Commander Lady Athena, and have steadfastly worked with her over these many years, and will continue to in this human form as long as we are living in this particular planetary system. And so I hope that answers your question.
Commander, could you share with our listening audience a little bit about how you can... I've lived with your family many, many times throughout the years, and I've seen you up close and personal for many, many years, and you have me as well. And I have experienced a consistently integrated, kind, loving person who's the best of human beings and also always aware and connected to your cosmic and galactic self. I have never seen any difference between your public persona and who you are in your day-to-day life. You always hold that integration. You're one of the most integrated of the commanders I have ever met. And I would like you to share with our listening audience some of the ways that you keep yourself so centered and in connection with who you are at a higher level.
Well, yeah, on a higher level, first let me just say that being in the human form, I experience all the emotions and feelings that we all do every day and different things that happen. And so when I'm in that space, which is most of the time of the higher level, when I'm in that space, the way I stay there is to remember why there are things I've experienced that are really totally the illusions of life. Although they are a reality, they're also an illusion. And also realizing that to stay in the place I need to stay in, when I run into any kind of adversity of a viewpoint or opinion, which we run into regarding misunderstandings about Ashtar Command or what have you, it just makes me stronger in my foundation and to know why I am physically here on this planet right now, and that is to bust the misconception of human beings about things they don't understand, but in a loving way to teach them, if they're willing to be taught, the truth of why we exist here, now. So in that foundation, and the way I've been able for the last over 20 years, or since 9 or 10 years old, before I knew about my connection to where I am now, I always knew internally that I was not from here, and when I became mature enough spiritually and cosmically to understand my connections within the Ashtar Command, I understood that I'm not only here to be a student, I am here to be a teacher, a cosmic teacher of the Ashtar Command. And I've steadfastly done that. Now, there are times when we get involved in family things or go to family get-togethers. I will not obviously sit there and talk to everyone and say, well, I want to tell you about a spaceship that's coming over the house tomorrow. But, but you get to experience the joy of other people in your family or your friends. And you know, if there's a point where you can open up and start talking one-on-one to them, if they are open to different things, then you can start getting into that. But for the most part, it's just staying in focus of who you are, you know, realizing that you take care of your family first. You know, if you're working in the 3D world, which most of us are, you do that, and you realize that it's okay, whatever that is. And then thirdly, you do your command work. so what I've learned to do is my family stuff, my 3D work, and then my command work. And in a sense, that's putting the command work in the top three, which is the way I do it. So I balance everything out. And if everyone can learn to do that, some people say to themselves, well, you know, I want to do my work for the command, but I just don't have the time. Or, you know, I used to, but I've just been too busy doing this. There's too many bills coming in, or this is going on. You know, we can find a million, bazillion excuses as to why we can't do things. But if we just sit down and meditate for an hour or 5 minutes or 10 minutes and just take a deep breath, and when you get home from work or wherever you are, take a deep breath and just allow yourself to have some inner peace time, and then just kind of balance things out and say, you know what, I can do all three things. I can have my family. If you're not married, then you know, you just have yourself and your friends. I can have my job, and even if I don't like my job or if I love my job, that's okay too. It's all an illusion. It's not going to be forever. The planet's transforming. And then thirdly, you do your Ashtar command work. Whatever your mission work is, you do it to the highest good, spiritually and cosmically, for your brothers and sisters. And that's exactly what I do.
Well, I can sure say that that's the truth, because I've watched you, and you have a beautiful, beautiful wife who actually is an angel. She relates more to the angelic realm and has her own mission, which is quite different from yours. You have a beautiful daughter who is definitely a star seed. Remember the time that we were giving her a bath in the bathtub, and she was playing with her Barbies and her little ponies and stuff, and being a little kid. And remember, you stooped over and you said, Bridget, do you remember where you came from? You know, where you came from before you came to live with Mommy and Daddy? Do you remember what she said?
No, I don't. Yep.
She told you exactly which planet she was from. It was funny because she switched the little girl voice like that to this very adult voice, and she said which planet she was from and why she was here on Earth. And we were both just about passing out because it was so funny. And she said what she had to say, and then she went back to being a little kid playing with a pony in her doll.
I do remember that much, generally speaking. I do remember that.
It was so multidimensional. It was so amazing. But you know, when you speak to some of these star children as if they really are not just little kids, but they really are someone here on Earth's assignment, you'll find that that part of them that is the commander will come forward and speak.
You know,
I wish I remembered what planet she said she was from, but she told us the whole thing in about a sentence or two, and then went back to her dolls.
And I don't remember who. It's somehow the word Pluto's coming into my head, but I'm not sure that's exactly the planet. But the thing when you just mentioned about kids is, could you imagine? And this is something that I've always felt: if parents would actually sit down with their children at a young age and say, and ask them, what planet did you come from before you were born? If every parent would do that, wouldn't that be interesting? To take
you
their
bet.
Kids seriously, their young daughter, the little girl, the little boy, and say, can I sit down with you? And I want to ask you, what planet did you come from? Do you remember? Do you remember who you were before you came here? We don't do that. We don't. When we take kids and put them into grade school or kindergarten or early things, they can draw pictures and so forth. But we never asked them, like, do you remember what planet you came from? Do you know why
That's
you're
right.
here? We'd have a whole different world if we started that way from day one. And now
we
is the
totally
time
would.
For parents, and being a parent, I'm suggesting to parents or people that are going to be parents to do that. When you have a baby, obviously, you can't say to the baby, what planet did you come from? Because they're not talking yet, in a way. But when they start being able to comprehend and talk, ask them, what planet did you come from? Ask them, what galaxy did you come from? Why are you here? What's your spiritual mission on Earth? And if we treat them with that honoring, they will start to express that. But if you start treating kids like trying to make them to be tough or be what you perceive them to be, 7 billion people on this planet, and there's all different kinds of folks on this planet. You know, some people want their kids to be boxers, some kids want their kids to be whatever. But if we would just take the time, instead of trying to teach our kids to be 3D kids, to just listen to who they truly are before we start teaching them. Then maybe the parents might learn a little bit, and I'm talking about those parents that might not be aware of who they are at all, might learn a little bit about the origins of their children, the galactic origin. And wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? That expression
yep.
comes through. So that's one of the things that I'm very much feeling about, Commander, when as you're interviewing me here is, and discussing here, is that I would like to see parents really honor their children by allowing them to express, whether it be in artwork, whether it be in words, in music, who they truly are. Who are you? Where do you come from? And why are you here?
I thought it was interesting with my daughter when she was about 8. We decided one day we would have an art project and we would draw what we thought the Golden Age would look like. I was rather amazed when we compared our drawings that they were almost identical. We all had dolphins. We had rainbows. We had Christ returning, you know, with the sun behind him and rays of light coming out of his heart. We had domed buildings. We had, like, lots of greenery and no cars or anything like that, and the spaceships. And it was interesting because he was an 8-year-old child and the mother, and we were drawing basically the same thing.
Wow. Interesting. That connection
yeah.
is so very, very, very straightforward. You know, very, very interesting. Yeah, and
also, if you ask them, who were you before when you were big? I know my daughter used to always say, when I was a boy, you know, before, when I was a boy. And they will say the most peculiar things, but you have to get them usually before they start going to school, because when they get to school and the conditioning starts to come in, usually the veil gets a little bit thicker in most children. It didn't with me, but with most children, I think it does. Now, please, Commander, explain to us how you integrate. There's different stages of integration. You go through stages in which you identify yourself a certain way, and then it goes deeper and deeper until you're finally able to bypass anything that looks like channeling, and you just simply appear as who you are and what you are without any kind of pretending like it's something else, so to speak, or on another level. You just are who you are. How did you appear and come in as who you are without having to say, oh, well, I'm channeling so-and-so or this or that? I know you don't do that. You just simply are who you are. How'd you get there?
Oh, that's a very good question. And a lot of it had to do with just believing and having faith in who I was to begin with and not allowing other people to tell me who I am or who I'm not. When you start allowing people to tell you who you are and who you're not, then you get into trouble. But when you actually stand on your own 2 feet, galactically speaking, and spiritually speaking, you make that connection directly. And I always had the feeling that my connections always have to be direct. My communications always have to be integrated directly. And that happened with Manka, when Manka Kadar and I integrated over the years more and more. I found that my communications was much, much more direct. And so when I communicate Manka Kadar, I'm communicating on a strong telepathic wavelength. I'm not channeling, although the word channeling can be generalized in a much broader context, channeling or focusing telepathically, but I'm not channeling a spirit. I'm not channeling, you know, the cloud. I'm not channeling a tree. Directly at the highest levels of integration, alignment with Manka Kadar. And with my own being, I've integrated Manka into my being. So when I speak, or Manka speaks, I speak. It's one and the same. There's no separation at that point. When people integrate, like you have, Ashtar and Athena, into your physical being, and you've done this over the years for so many more years than I have, but as you've integrated that, you speak not from a channeling, but from a direct integration. It's like turning on a switch. I can switch Manka Kadar on right now, and I am Manka Kadar, regardless of whether I'm Commander Alion I'm integrated with that energy spiritually, cosmically, and in every other level. Does that answer that question at all? Or?
Yes, I think that's very important for the ground crew to know, because often they distance themselves from who they are within the command and who they are as a human instrument. And often in the past, the languaging has been, I'm a channel for so-and-so, Wonka, Ashtar, whoever, whatever. And I think what we're all awakening to now within the ground crew is that that being on that higher level very often is really who we are. There's actually not another being, but there's another higher aspect of oneself. Mm. I remember some years back, Ashtar kept saying that I was him in this level, and that on that level, he was me. And I really didn't understand that at all. And recently I've come to understand it, because we are in fact whole beings. We're not half and half. And so if we are a whole being, let's say it's, you know, whoever you and your twin flame are on the inner, you're also that on the outer, even though one may be more dominant. For example, in my case, Athena, and in your case, Monka.
Yeah.
But we have our twin flames, and you are one of those twin flames. And, you know, it's just a... It's bringing everything here now, instead of having a sense that there's part of you off in a spaceship somewhere that's very, very distant from who you are in this everyday world. It's that integrative process that many, many souls are going through now.
And it's also vibrating. You know, one of the things, when you asked me a question about integration, one thing that people can do is also make sure that their vibrational level in their body is at the highest level possible. The planet's going into a higher vibration now. That's why there's so many different vast changes happening, whether people want to call it Earth changes or any kind of change, the human change, the cosmic, of the consciousness, of the mind, the body, the soul, it's all changing, activating. So, but to integrate who you are, like for me, Monica Kadar, with you, Ashtar, and Athena, as one, for somebody else, you know, Soltech, or it might be one of the other spiritual commanders or what have you. If that's your alignment and your lineage within the command, you will integrate that. You know, and people should not fear integrating who they are. If anything, people should embrace integrating that aspect of their connections with the command fully. And by doing so, you empower yourself with great love and that great love for others, and you're able to do your mission work in much more clarity than if you don't integrate yourself. So it's really important to integrate one's Ashtar commandership on that level. And by doing so...
You know, it's so true, too, that when you do that, and you're a prime example of that, you just radiate such love. There's, in fact, I would say that's foremost above anything else, how you will identify a true commander, is that they simply radiate love wherever they go, whether they're buying groceries or putting gas in their car. They're such ambassadors of goodwill, and usually very, very open and friendly and communicative and loving. Of course, you know, different people have different personalities. But I have found, as a general rule, a real commander is known by their love and their radiance and their openness to all people. And I know you certainly are that way. And that, to me, is the best advertisement that we could ever give for who we are and what we're about. And the other thing is that invariably the commanders will have a great love and reverence for God. It just seems to go with the territory. There's a great sense of devotion and respect for all life and all peoples and all spiritual beliefs. There's a great universality in that state.
And that is very true. As a matter of fact, when you meet people, if they are saying they're of the Astral Command and they don't come from a state of love, then you will know that it's like looking at a cover but not seeing the right pages in the book. the Ashtar commanders, truly who are Ashtar commanders, will always come from a state of love, complete love. And that's how we came to this planet, in a state of complete love. And if they do not come in that state, then you will know how to discern that. And I've discerned many people through being in the communication sector of the command, even on the computer, on these different sites, who are not what they appear to be. And you will know that. I mean, if they come from a complete spiritual cosmic level of love, then you will know that they are truly what they say they are. And, you know, that's why when we talk about the command, we are here in universal light and golden love of all the beings on this planet and all the beings in the universe. And we're here to uplift humanity, not bring it down. And that's why we're here. And that's why we all have our varied missions, but we are all one Ashtar Galactic Command. There's not 10 different Ashtar Commands. There's one Ashtar Galactic Command, and we are all one together in this mission.
Yes, that's so true. And different commanders will have different phases of the mission, which may look very, very different. But really, it just represents the many, many facets of the command and the necessity that we actually have to have people in all places of human endeavor, in all places throughout the planet. In fact, I would have to say that you can't possibly be in a place that is inappropriate because light is needed everywhere. I know when I was in England back in the early 90s, the Master Jesus actually walked in where I was doing some gatherings in the evening and told us that we needed to go into Scotland to anchor the grid because in February of that year there was going to be a number of Christed souls that were going to be born in Scotland in the area of Inverness, which is up by Loch Ness, interestingly enough. And the grid was not sufficiently prepared for them. And he gave us a timeline in which to do it and said if we couldn't do it within that timeline, because he was aware I had a workshop in London in a few days, then to come back in 2 months. So it shows you how closely the hierarchy, the Master Jesus, who we know in the command of Lord Sananda, how very much on earth they are and how very much in your face they are in watching over the mission and making certain that we do what we're supposed to do. The other thing he said, all hell broke loose when I entered England, and I for a time thought I was failing the mission. And I wanted an answer as to why, you know, there was all this stuff going on. And he said that our entrance into Great Britain had disrupted and broken the Antichrist grids off of that land. And that was what had repercussed as that backlash that initially happened when we came in. So sometimes when you enter into an area in your mission, all hell breaks loose. And you think, oh my gosh, I came to bring peace, and look, I've just made a mess. So sometimes that's what happens. But there are Antichrist grids just as there is a Christ consciousness grid, because all levels of consciousness have a grid field. And so sometimes the mission looks a little messy when things are being disrupted and uprooted that are not part of the higher consciousness. Have you had that experience yourself, Commander?
Yes. I've experienced times where things have been uprooted and people's, well, I can only say in chat rooms where I've been in general spiritual chat rooms where I've, over the last 3 years, have seen people transform from that grid to a very more positive grid just from my being there. And other people just steadfastly refuse to transform their consciousness. And I've seen many people just in that level just go from that anti-Christ grid to the Christ consciousness grid. And it's really kind of interesting to see that. And, you know, people even, they could have been a few months ago one way, and now they're like opening their consciousness up to the things I've expressed about the command and about spirituality on a cosmic level, and now they're looking at these things. They're reading, they're researching, they're learning. So it can be done. When you break a wall, it's like taking the Berlin Wall, let's say, and breaking the wall down. Once you break the wall down, there's no limit what can change. But as long as you have little walls and boxes around things, everything stays secluded. When you break those walls down, it allows for the change of that cosmic flow of energy to come in and clear out that old energy. And that's exactly what, in a sense, the Ashtar Galactic Man is. We are coming, we're in Earth, we're on Earth, and we're clearing out the old energy of many lifetimes, and we're bringing in a much higher vibration. That's certainly going to shake, rattle, and roll a lot of people, and 7 billion people on the planet. It's certainly going to do that. But that's all positive. And in the end, it's all good. And so at this time, we're in the interim parts of that change. In terms of your question, yes, that is, you know, the way you expressed what happened in England, going there, now it allowed for a great transformation to occur. And if you hadn't
been there, that's certainly true. And all walls are constructed from fear. And all walls have to come down, particularly the walls that we place around our loving. There can be no limit to the love of God that needs to pour through each one of us as the direct instruments through which that invisible love becomes visible in time and space. Commander, could you tell our listening audience how they can get in contact with you?
Yes. Usually it's off-planet, and it's usually on a big ship. No, I'm just kidding you. But they can
not
get...
Not really.
only if that were... That's not necessarily only if that were possible, but I guess the way they really can get in touch with us while we're living on Earth is through my email address, and I'll give that to you. It's cmdraleon, Commander Aleon, at AOL.com if you wish to correspond with us. And also through the Ashtar Galactic Command website, I encourage people who are around the world to feel very connected with us to participate in that website. It's a private MSN group we've created, and it's very a safe place for people that are very connected with the Ashtar Command from other planets to come. You need to just send us an email, fill out the MSN membership form, which they have for all their groups. It's called Ashtar Galactic Command. And also, please write a note or two about that you heard the broadcast here on the Voice of the Ashtar Command radio show with Commander Lady Athena. And what we'll do is review that, and as long as we have some sort of indication of your spiritual connection with us, then we will do is accept your membership, and you'll be able to interact with a lot of people all over the world. Like Commander Lady Athena said, we have just about almost 800 people right now on that from just many different countries, including North America, South America, Asia, the Middle East, all over the place. So these are people that are very connected with the Ashtar Command, and we'd love to have you join us and your cosmic family and share your commandership with us.
And also you can reach me by clicking on the Voice of the Ashtar Command radio show. Just click on it, and it'll take you to my webpage, and there's a link to the Ashtar Galactic Command site. And also, you can see my email and my phone number there. Also, we don't mean to be exclusive when we have a private group in which we want you to specifically say your connection with the command. The reason we do that is that our particular group is for a particular purpose. And if you have an interest simply in extraterrestrial information or government conspiracies or political, geopolitical, and financial matters or sightings and things of that nature, there are other commanders within the Ashtar Command that have better information along those lines. Ours is a spiritual teaching primarily for self-realization, God-realization, and understanding your eternal aspects as a spiritual being that in highest truth has never left the heart of God. We assign our work very much to souls that are coming in who are Christed or who are self-realized. And there are many, many websites out there of the Ashtar Command, probably thousands, which there will be something for everyone out there. So no, we're not being exclusive, but we are being focused on the particular mission that we have come to serve. And all of the sites are out there in serving various facets of the Ashtar Command. So pretty soon they will be counting us off the air, and I just wanted to thank you for being our guest. I love you very much. The Command loves you very much. You're doing awesome work. I hope more and more people will be inspired by your sharing to step out and do what they can to also share the message that has been given to them to share. Each one of us has an encodement and a message, and it's for us to find out what that is and to share it without any kind of compromise.
And I
work, live, and teach at your highest level.
I was going to say, I would encourage people to come out of the closet. In our realm, coming out of the closet is way different than some of the other things that you see on Earth. But I would certainly say, do not be afraid to come out of the cosmic closet spiritually as to who you are. And maybe, you know, you might have family members that don't even know you're with the Avatar Command. Come out of the closet at dinner. Sit down with them. Have a glass of green tea or something, and share that with them. And sure, they're going to be shocked. But
amen. And a closet is anything that's stuffy and confined to you in a small place.
Right.
It can represent anything in your life that keeps
anything.
You small.
But this,
and,
you know,
is part of the old.
So it's really, really a good thing to just be who you are, express yourself who you are, and just live in joy and understanding no matter what things happen in your life. Understand that the Astral Command is all over the planet, off the planet. If you ever feel alone, you're never alone, because we're just, you know, one heartbeat away from each other.
That's beautiful. We're just a thought away, Astral often says, and it's true. Wherever your mind is, there is where you are, and whoever you think of, that person is with you the moment you think of them. So on behalf of the Astral Galactic Command, Commander Alion and myself, Commander Lady Athena, wish you a beautiful evening. Come up on the ships with us and play with your family of light. And be blessed. Walk in the love and the light of the Most Radiant One. And be his ambassador here on Earth. That is really what our mission is all about, to be the love and the light of the beloved Christ. And gosh, it's been fun having you on the show. We'll have to do this again. And all
and
in love to your family.
Yes, and maybe next time we can take some phone calls.
Perhaps we'll do that. It's a little daunting, but I think we're up for it.
Yeah.
So let's just cue chant until they turn us off, okay?
Sounds good to me.
You'll have to come up with a Martian one, Commander.
I'll definitely.
I'll see you up on the ship tonight. We're going to rock and roll with that, okay? We're going to party out.
A Martian chant.
Blessings, blessings, blessings to you, honey.
Yes, blessings
love
to you.
Love your family.
And blessings to you. And blessings to all of you around the planet listening on BBS Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. You are loved. Just know that. You are so loved and so needed on Earth at this time. So, Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. And Baruch HaBashad, may the blessings be.